Turn with me to the book of Jude. Jude, just before the book of the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Jude. Jude, beginning in verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Our Father, our holy Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We pray that this day bless the setting forth of Christ. We pray that you'd bless this word, bless it to our hearts, ignite our heart, make our heart a flame for him. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. There's absolutely nothing that a believer will agree with quicker than to hear someone tell him, "You're a sinner." He's going to agree with that. Yeah, you're right. Comfort for the people of God in having their guilt put away. Comfort for God's people. That's what the Lord told Jeremiah. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Comfort to the people of God is when you tell them what they are by nature, knowing something of the pit from which they've been dug, and tell them in whom their hope lies. That's comfort. No diamond has ever shone brighter than it, when it was laid on a black felt. Likewise, salvation by God's grace, sovereign grace, for a people that he's everlastingly loved, is never seen to be so glorious as when the filth of man's depraved nature is exposed. Sinners. That's who Christ came to save. Sinners. And who knows? By God's grace, there might be a sinner found in this place today. I've heard one wise man say, that's a precious thing. Find a sinner. Not very many of them in their own estimation. But you let a man, by God's grace, be found to be a sinner, a rebel against Almighty God. Rebel. That man's got some hope. That's who Christ will save. Sinner. The psalm that we deal with this morning, Psalm 51, was written by the blessed psalmist of Israel, David. One that God Himself in His Word declares to be a man after God's own heart. Amazing. What a epitaph. A man after God's own heart. David. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband, Uriah the Hittite. When Uriah came in and from the battle, and Uriah came to the king, and David, having taken his wife already, told him, he said, go spend some time with your wife. You know, Bathsheba was with child. And Uriah said, I just can't. I'm going to stay right here at your door. Not right for me to go and find pleasure with my wife. My men are out there dying, fighting for you. Honor. David had Uriah placed at the front of the battle where he knew the heat of the battle would take him. He did. He died. It was all hidden. All over. Nobody knows. Uriah's dead. This woman doesn't have a husband now. Prophet came to David, told him a story. He said there was a poor man. I'm just paraphrasing, but there was a poor man in the land. And he had one little sheep, one little ewe lamb. That's all he had. Loved that lamb. And said there was a real rich man in that same country, and that rich man just had cattle and lamb, sheep, just untold riches. And a friend of the real rich man came to town one day. Rich man was going to fix him a meal, prepare him a nice dinner. And that real rich man went and took that one little ewe lamb from that man. That's all he had. One. And David heard that. And he said, you tell me who that man was, and I'll have him. And Nathan looked at him and he said, you're the man. You're the man. You're the one. You could have had anybody you wanted. You're the king. You took that man's life. You're the man. David sinned against Almighty God. We might be able to take and say, you know, well, I David just a sinner. That's all he was. You don't justify yourself before God looking at another man saying, that man right there sinned against God. We're just sinners. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. I'm not here to talk about sin of David. I can understand that. I can enter into that. I can understand how, man, all we are, we're sinners. But I don't find comfort in saying that here's a man that was after God's own heart and he did it. No excuse. I want to talk about the miracle of God's grace that expresses itself in David's confession and repentance. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. David knew. He knew. God's mercy was found only in Christ. Mercy is found in Him. What blind Bartimaeus, who did he cry out for mercy to? Jesus, thou Son of David. You the Messiah. You the hope of Israel. True Israel. God's Israel. Have mercy on me. Mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm blind. I'm weak. I'm needy. Have mercy on me. The thing that makes this universal prayer of David, and this is the universal prayer of God's people, the thing that makes it so blessed to the new heart is that here's a man's honest. They relate what he's saying. This is the prayer of God's people. Listen to David's plea. That's the first thing I want to look at. Look at his plea. Have mercy upon me. Appeals to the mercy of God before he ever mentions his sin. Have mercy on me. I tell you, I've never been so impressed as one time I heard somebody, one as a little child, came up to their parents, and before they ever told the parent what they did, they walked up and said, I'm sorry. Hadn't even been discovered what the problem was, what they'd broken or what they'd spilled or whatever. I'm sorry. Mercy. Mercy. Have mercy on me without a cause within me. There's nothing in me that is deserving of your mercy. Nothing. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. You're the sovereign God that has mercy on whom you'll have mercy. One on whom you'll have compassion. That's who you're going to have compassion. And I know it's for the sake of Christ. Put away my guilt. He paid the penalty for me. I'm sorry. Have mercy. Mercy sought is mercy found. Never did a sinner ever come to Christ seeking mercy that he didn't get it. Come unto me. All ye that are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Mercy. Pardon of sin must ever be sovereign act God's mercy, but not mercy at the expense of His justice. God cannot, will not, He cannot, holy God, He cannot show mercy at the expense of His justice. He's a just God. David said, have mercy on me. He knew. Lord, my sin's only been paid, only been put away in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you have mercy on me? Mercy. Mercy is that special favor that God shows, bears only to His chosen in Christ. He will in no wise clear the guilty. Cannot. Man needs mercy as a man's guilty. Have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, according to your nature. You said you're a merciful God. Show mercy that is consistent with your holiness, not at the expense of your holiness and justice, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, Sinners aware of their guilt. They're aware of the multitude of their guilt, sins. Also, what comfort that God has multitude of mercies. That's what David said. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Obliterate the record. Wipe it like you wipe a plate. Just clean it. Clean it. It's clean before you. Erase my guilt that no record of it may ever appear against me. Blot out my transgressions. It's mine. I've sinned against you. Blot it out. How is that going to be blotted out? No way. No way but the putting away of my guilt by being imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. My sin charged to Him. Lord, blot it out. Justify me before you. I'm justified freely by your grace, justified by the imputed righteousness of Christ. Blot out my transgressions. Have mercy on me. Listen, this is a man, and as I read these 12 verses that I'm going to deal with, Lord willing, 12 verses, this is a believer. This is a believer praying. And there's not a believer in this house this morning that doesn't enter into this. Lord, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Lord, I can't wash myself. I can't cleanse myself. How am I going to wash myself? You wash me. It must be a thorough washing. You wash me. God's people are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleansed. But you know what David's talking about? Turn to John 13. John 13. John 13, 5. Wash me. As I said, God's people are washed. Washed white. In the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've thought of that, and I thought, washed white in the blood of Christ. See, that's my, washed white in His blood. That blood stains. Oh, that the stain of His blood be found on me. Washed white. Wash me. In John 13, verse 5, after He poureth water, after that, He poureth water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. And then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore saith he, ye are not all clean. What washing was he talking about? I'll tell you what it is. It's the daily washing of our walk before Him. Wash me. He said, you're clean. You're clean. But you need to have your feet washed. The stain of our walk through this life, we pick up filth. Filth. In our walk, wash me. David said, Lord, wash me throughly from mine iniquity. There's a clean man right there begging God, wash him. Wash me. Believer views that old nature as one great pollution. Cleanse me from my sin. This is what God's people long to be rid of. I hate the smell of it. I hate the stench of it. This is what I am. Have mercy on me. Lord, wash me. cleanse me. O wretched man that I am. When we deal seriously with sin. Now you listen. And I listen. I need to hear this. When we deal seriously with sin, God is dealing gently with us. Now you remember that. A man that's honest before God, made honest. Lord, this is me. I need your mercy. Have mercy on me. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me from my sin. God's dealt in mercy, grace, gently to show you that. Reveal that to you. If he'd have left you, left me in rebellion and sin, I walk through this world and you will too. Absolutely thinking I'm right before God. I gave him my heart. I've been faithful. All these years I've been faithful. And you've never been faithful. And I haven't either. Don't even think one good thing this morning that you've done. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. He's pleased with one man. He's pleased with his son. Lord, blessed Lord, have mercy. I had a professor when I was in college, art professor, and he, a great teacher. And he was just, I don't know what it was about this guy. Everybody loved him. He was such an encouragement, encourager. And the very thought of disappointing him, that was the general rule. You could ask any of his students, the thought of not turning in some work or the thought of trying to just get by. I mean, one man I knew when I was in school that I really had a lot of respect. I remember I did something one day and I disappointed him. And I could see the disappointment, and it was an embarrassment to him because it was a little job that I was doing for an outside thing that had gone through my professor. And I caused embarrassment to him. And that just slew me. I just thought, how much more David, how much more God's people? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Cleanse me. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's David's. That's the plea of David. Listen to his confession. Verse 3. I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge it. To acknowledge guilt is to confess it. Here's the clear evidence that a sinner is seeking mercy. I acknowledge. Lord, as you say I am, I am. It's the way I am. And I see something of it. Lord, you've made me willing to confess. Lord, you may, thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. This is what they're willing to do. They're willing to come to him for mercy. Willing to confess. Willing to seek mercy. I spread my guilt before you. Just like Hezekiah did when that wicked king, Rabshakeh, sent him a threatening letter. He said, I'm going to get you. Had God's people surrounded. You're mine. All the other kings, they're mine. You think your God's going to deliver you? And Hezekiah came to spread that letter. Lord, look at this. Look what he wrote. Lord. That's what David's doing right here. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. I'm convinced of it. I'm troubled in mind about it. I'm humbled under the sense of it. And I have no rest. I have no comfort till I tell you. not hiding anything from you. I'm not hiding anything from God. My sin's ever before me. Lord, for Christ's sake. Lord, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of His blood, for the sake of Your honor, have mercy on me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned. I've done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Before You, I'm nothing. In myself, I'm a sinner. Before You, I'm nothing but a sinner. In myself, before You, I do nothing but sin continually. That's the continual action of my heart. I cannot in myself. I can't please Him. I can't. I can't. I'm altogether sinful, unrighteous. All of my righteousnesses, filthy. My whole life is evil and depraved on account of sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law. Therefore, it's against Him. You say, well, didn't David sin against Bathsheba? Uriah? Didn't he sin? Yeah, he did. But that is the obvious result of sinning against God. Against You and You only have I sinned. I've done this evil in Thy sight. I've committed treason in the very court of the king before His all-seeing, omniscient eye. Only a believer is concerned with the eye of God, because He knows. Lord, You know. I've done this evil in Your sight. Lord, I acknowledge my guilt, that You might be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. That is to say, my guilt is beyond debate. And no debating this. No debating. Lord, I need mercy. There's mercy in Christ. There's mercy found where there's mercy sought. But Your mercy that You freely show mercy to, You do it not at the expense of Your justice. Lord, You put my sin away. You took my guilt and put it on Your Son. And under Your indescribable justice, You slew Him in my place, my stead. Put away my guilt, paid that penalty. Well, now when I see what I am, the way I act, Lord, You have mercy on me. If You judge me for my transgression, I would absolutely receive no more than I deserve. Behold, verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Lord, this is here's the root. Here's where I come from. I'm not justifying myself before You. I have nothing in myself to justify. This is my grassroots right here. I'm a sinner originally by Adam's transgression. It's what I am, Lord. This is me. I'm a sinner by birth. I'm a sinner by practice. I'm a sinner by choice. I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Lord, this is the root of my problem right here. I read a story about a king or a prince or something that went to a prison and interviewed. You probably heard this story. Interviewed a few men and asked them. He was going to show some mercy to one. Interviewed, say, a dozen men. 11 of them he talked to, all were justified in themselves. They said, I don't really deserve to be here. I'm here by hook and crook. Somebody lied on me. I'm a scapegoat. One man said, well, I'm here for what I deserve. I'm getting just exactly what's due me. I committed that crime. I did it. They caught me. That prince showed him mercy. He said, there's a man right there that needs some mercy. 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 Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. A man, David said, I know this, must be pure inwardly, not outwardly. Oh, this old shell right here. Oh, there's a sense in which a woman can put on a pretty good show. But the inward parts, that inward heart, that heart, if there be no heart there of His creation, that is in the new birth, no hope. Lord, this is what You desire. You desire truth in the inward parts. If truth, being Christ Himself, is not found in the inward parts, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord, this is Your desire, truth in the inward parts. How far is the natural man from God's desire? Scripture says God desires truth, man's a liar. God desires purity, man's filthy. And without dealing with me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth Himself, there's nothing. There's nothing here, nothing within, but that which is deserving to be cast out. Lord, You desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. It's only by God's teaching that I know this in the hidden part, that You make me to know wisdom. You've revealed it to me, the hidden part. Turn to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. This hidden part. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, or plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Let it be that hidden man of the heart. David says back in Psalm 51, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Only God's Spirit teach a man. Teaches him in the hidden part, the inner man. Only Christ is revealed by God's Spirit to a sinner, to the hidden man, that hidden part. Only He imparts the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, to reverence Almighty God. And then here's David's desire. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David's not telling God what to do, but confesses his need right here. Purge me with hyssop, or purge my conscience. of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9:11 to 14, that conscience that he's talking about, when he says, "Purge me with hyssop," it's talking about that, the conscience. Hebrews 9, verse 11, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building, "neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" David said, "Lord, purge me. Purge my conscience by the blood of your blessed Son. Purge me with hyssop. Expiate my sin you've done. Purge me now. Purge my thoughts. Purge my conscience before you. Lord, nothing but the blood of Christ can put away sin, and nothing but the blood of Christ can purge the conscience. Cause me to remember. Let him who is appointed to atone execute that blessed office for me, purging of my conscience. Make me remember that. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Like that leper, upon whom the priest had performed the cleansing rites, taking that blood, that oil, putting it on his ear, his thumb, his big toe. Ceremonial cleansing. Lord, cleanse me. Purge me. I'll be clean. Purge with his blood. I am clean. Clean from the penalty of sin. And thanks be unto God soon from the presence of it. Wash me. And I'll be whiter than snow. All God's people came out of great tribulation, the book of the Revelation, whose robes have been washed, made white in the blood of the Lamb. Wash me. Lord, wash me. Just like we read a while ago when the Lord said, If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. If you have part with me, I will wash you. I'll wash your feet. I'll cleanse you. I'll cleanse your way. A man realizes the mercy of Almighty God that would wash him, cleanse him in the blood of Christ. Oh, how can he but cry out, "Lord, have mercy. Forgive me. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Snow that falls and collects dust and dirt and soon disappears. But being washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that endures forever, that salvation that fadeth not away. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." What can be whiter than snow? The one that Christ washes. You wash me. I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The sensitive ear to Christ becomes dull by sin. An ear sensitive to him, to that believer, an ear made sensitive to him by Christ is made insensitive by rebellion. Make me to hear. Just like when that priest went in on that day of atonement, priest, high priest would go in. He had on a a robe, and it had little bells. He'd have a golden bell and a pomegranate, and a golden bell and a pomegranate, golden bell and a pomegranate, all the way around. And that priest would go in, and as he walked, the bells would jingle. And the children of Israel, they'd hear that sound. And the joy and the gladness that they would hear of those tinkling little bells, those little golden bells, as long as those bells was ringing, that priest was in there, in that innermost place. On that day of atonement, sprinkling of the blood, Lord, make me to hear. Let me hear the joy. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let me hear of Him. Let me hear the sound of Christ that's put away my sin. One who ever liveth to make intercession for me right now. Ever liveth. Active God. Make me to be sensitive. No voice can revive dead joys but the voice which quickens the dead. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. That man was dead. And he came forth. Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear with joy and gladness. Make me to hear it one more time. Don't let me just hear it in my ear. Lord, when I hear the gospel, when I hear how Christ has put away my guilt, make me hear it. And let me be joyful. That's a miracle of God's grace that a man would find joy and gladness in hearing that message. Now, it's so. They hear it because they're alive. A believer can be the most downcast in all the world because of his disobedience and sin. The most joyful and glad at the hearing of mercy found in His Redeemer, His blessed Savior. Tell me of Him. Speak to me of Him. Tell me about Him one more time. Tell me how God's pleased with Him. Tell me how God chose me in Him. Tell me how He put away my guilt. Tell me again, I'm going to stand before God. I stand before God in Him. Accepted in the Beloved. Accepted. Lord, You make me to hear. Make me to hear that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Those bones, in true sense, our sins, like the pain of a broken bone. That's what David said, Psalm 38. Just a couple of pages back. Psalm 38. And verse 3, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Your afflictions. Lord, because of my rebellion, the afflictions that You've sent me. What a blessing. Greatest blessing that God would ever in this life. I'm talking about just His leading and guiding and directing His people. Greatest blessings a man or woman ever receives. Being chastened by the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Takes Him. Brings them to Himself. True repentance, the effect of Christ setting the bones of His people. I had a friend of mine the other day, got his nose broken. Never had my nose broken. I don't know this for a fact. But when they set that bone, there's some pain that's involved. Hurts. But that pain necessary. That bone might be set back where it's supposed to be. Function like it's supposed to function. Work like it's supposed to work. Set it back. How that hurt. That hurt. That's for my good, though. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Every wound of the affliction of Almighty God, lovingly given to his people. Every wound, every pain. James said, consider it all joy when you fall in these divers temptations. Works of perfect patience. Paul said, I glory in tribulation. Glory in it. Painful? Yes. But what a blessing. Every wound at his hand becomes a mouth of praise to his goodness. Lord, you dealt well with me. Thank you. I needed that. I needed that. I deserve that. Thank you. You didn't leave me to myself. Thank you. Lord, thank you. You just didn't look on me with an unsympathetic eye and just let me do what I wanted to do. Thank you. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Veil yourself. David had said in verse 3, my sin is ever before me. In verse 4, he said, I've done this evil in thy sight. Now he prays, Lord, put my sin out of your sight. Lord, if you mark iniquity, who shall stand? If you mark iniquity in your judgment, who shall stand? How could you? How could they stand if God were to mark it? Put it out of your sight. How? Only by putting them away in Christ. Casting as far as the east is from the west. Putting them behind your back. I will remember those transgressions no more against them. Psalm 85:2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered their sin in the blood of Christ. Blot out all my iniquities. That's what he asked for in verse 1, wasn't it? Yeah, blot out my transgressions. Verse 9, blot out mine iniquities. Remember this, all repetition is not vain repetition. Souls in agony speak in simple, monotone. Lord, blot them out. Put them away. He blots not out our sin and hides not his face from our sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must hide his face of mercy forever. If he doesn't put those sins away, I'll never see mercy. Lord, blot them out. Blot them out. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me. Let me ask you something. Is this not a believer speaking? Yes, it is. Create in me a clean heart. This man's alive. Therefore, how could David ask for a new heart if he didn't already have a heart? A dead man doesn't ask to be made alive. This is a live man. Create in me a clean heart. Let me tell you what he's saying. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 13. Amazing passage of Scripture. Leviticus 13, verse 9. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him up, for he's unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. He's talking about right here. He said, if you see a spot here and a spot there and a little bit, unclean. But he says, if in verse 12, paraphrasing, but if that leprosy is all over, top to bottom, not a place that priest doesn't find leprosy. Verse 13, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. And that priest pronounced him clean. Spot here, spot there, unclean. But if he's covered head to toe, you're clean. You say, that doesn't even make sense to me. Well, when a man, little spot here, little spot there, sees himself, I'll admit it. Maybe I got a little spot here, a little spot there. Maybe I do have a little sin in me. I guess I'm not perfect. Oh, I'm sure that there's some things that I've done that's not too bad. Unclean. But you let a man be covered from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot. I'm a leper. That's all I am. That's all I am before God. In myself, there's no soundness in me. No part that's free from sin. That man that's covered with sin has no claim to any righteousness within himself. Any righteousness to justify him before God in himself, but wholly trust Christ, his righteousness for acceptance with God. He said, you're clean. You're clean. There's a man that's found mercy with God. Clean. Through the grace of God and the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, David says, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Only you can. Declare me. Declare it to be what you say it is, based only on the righteousness of your Son. Make me as only you can. And renew a right spirit within me. An upright, a mind steady in longing and following after you. Lord, only you can do that. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not from the presence of your mercy. I'm refreshed and comforted. There's nothing that is more desirable to a believer than the sense of the presence of his Savior. Nothing. And there's nothing that's lonelier than the unawareness and the sense of his absence. I didn't say that he's gone. I didn't say that he was cast away from the love of God, the care of God, the sight of God. But like old Maurice Montgomery told me one time, he said, you know, God put a man out on a limb for a while. And he said, that's a lonely place, isn't it? And I said, yeah. Yes, it is. Cast me not away from thy presence. Lord, by sin, I have a nature that would cast you away. There's a nature in every man that would cast God away. That's what he'd do. And cast myself away from you. Here's what he prays. Lord, cast me not away from your presence. People of God, never cast away from his love, never cast away from his mercy, but from his presence. That's what he's saying. Cast me not away. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Which obviously won't be taken away because the gifts of God are without repentance. God gives grants and he doesn't take them back. Here's a man that wasn't given over to a reprobate mind. We're born of incorruptible seed, Christ. The elect of God are preserved from falling away. That's what I read in Jude. Unto him that's able to keep you from falling, but for his grace. That's where we'd go. But for his mercy, power, we'd cast ourselves away. We'd cast him away. David says, Lord, cast me not away. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me the evidence of your grace. The joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Do you know what the joy of a believer is? I got just a couple of minutes and I'm done. John 20:19-20. The joy of God's people. We talk about joy. What is that? John 20, verse 19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst, saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You'll know the joy of a believer, the crucified Savior, the one that put their guilt away. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The presence of Christ. Lord, restore that unto me. A believer will never foolishly charge God with taking away the joy of his salvation, of thy salvation. That's not what David said. He didn't say, Lord, you took it away. You know what he said? I forfeited it. By sin, I gave it up. I gave it up. Lord, would you restore it? I can't. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Uphold me, Satan and self, the believer, makes him think. Now this is the subtlety of the lie of Satan, self. Will tell a believer can start to think, I'm such an established Christian, I'll never fall into anything like that. I'll never do that. One writer said gunpowder can resist fire sooner than a sinner can resist temptation if God does not uphold him. Gunpowder, thinking it could throw itself on a burning inferno and it won't hurt me. David said, Lord, uphold me. Lord, keep me. If you don't, uphold me with thy free spirit. Let me not be enslaved as I have a tendency to be. Uphold me by your free spirit. Let your free spirit sustain me. This is the heart of a believer, casting himself upon the mercy of God for the sake of Christ, the honor of Christ, the glory of Christ. Our Father, forgive us where we failed you. Thank you for your mercy. Grace, mercy, grace, truth. by Christ Jesus our Lord, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.